Good afternoon. It's very nice to see you all. I haven't, COVID interrupted my long run here, so it's nice to be back. We're going to begin with the call to worship, which is hymn 366. I'm having a little visual trouble, and Jenny made this big enough so that you all can read it too. Church in the Wildwood, number 367. All set? Would you like to stand? I know it's late in the afternoon. You'd probably do. There's a church in the valley by the green wood. No lovelier spot in the dale. No place is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Come to the church in the wild wood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear in my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. Oh, come to the church in the wild wood, to the trees where the wild flowers bloom, where the parting hymn will be chanted. We will weep by the side of the tomb.
Come
to the church in the wild wood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. How sweet on a clear Sunday morning to list to the clear ringing bell. Its tones so sweetly are calling, oh, come to the church in the vale.
Oh, come, come, come.
Come to the church in the wild wood. Oh, come to the church in the vale. No spot is so dear to my childhood as the little brown church in the vale. From the church in the valley by the wild wood, when day fades away into night, I would fain from this spot of my childhood wing my way to the mansions of light.
Oh, come, 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 come.
Come to the church in the wild wood. Oh, come
to the church in the vale.
No spot is so dear to my childhood
as the little brown church in the vale.
Nicely done. Bodes well for the rest of the service. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, we come before you with awe, for you are great in love and power. Some of us come with reluctance, and some with joy, some with sadness, and others full of fear, yet we know that you receive us as we are. Mighty God, stay with us always as we worship and as we share the risk and challenge of living our faith in dangerous times. By your powerful Spirit, turn our fear to courage and our confusion to confidence in you. Touch us, God, with your healing fire. Speak to us through your word. Send us out into the world renewed and eager to do your will. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, for those of you who are not here before, Now we have a wild and crazy thing called a hymn sing. Please, if you have something that is really on your heart and you really want to sing it and it isn't in the hymnal, you're going to have to start us off. Otherwise, you can't go wrong. So, who'd like to start?
Amazing
Grace. Oh, good one to start with. Now, do you stand for this generally, or do you remain seated?
People decide if they'd like to stand for the hymns or not.
You hear it from the boss. So there you go. 487, sitting or standing, whichever you prefer.
First and last?
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing. Tell me the verses. Thank you.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. When we
has one? No?
450.
I knew you'd
go. Beautiful for spacious skies for the holidays.
There you go.
Verses
1 and 4 of 450. Please stand for this one if you feel like it. If you don't, tell me not to.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of rain, for purple mountain majesties, above the fruited plains. Talks with me.
Anybody else? Oh, come on.
457.
457. Thank you, Clark. Which verses?
The whole thing.
Oh, the whole thing. Okay. Oh, good. For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Christ our God to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the wonder of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and dale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light, Christ our God to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Christ our God to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For thy church that evermore lifteth holy hands above, offering up on every shore her pure sacrifice of love, Christ our God to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. Yes?
34.
Which verses?
First and last.
First and last. Ah.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Be seated, please. Now we begin with prayer requests, and I don't see something to write them with, so maybe you don't write them.
Oh, we do. You want them in there? Pencil, pen?
Oh, excuse me.
A little pad.
And a
have found a little pad. Oh, it has stars on it. Happy 4th of July. Okay. So, for whom shall we pray today? Yes, Jim.
Our prayers for Dawn, whose mother, 97 years old, is probably not going to be with us much longer. And at the same time, her son, who is recently diagnosed with recurrent colon cancer, and it doesn't look good for him either. So,
this
just,
is...
what I want for her is strength.
Right.
Strength to get through what she needs to get through.
And it is Dawn.
Dawn, D-A-W-N.
Okay. Prayers for Dawn and for her mom. And for her brother?
Son. Her son, Dawn's son.
Dawn's son. Got it. I can't actually see this paper, so we're going to do it on... It says snow today. And safe travel for visitors and for the church and COVID.
Okay.
Huh? Okay. We are not praying for snow. I don't care what you say. So we have Dawn on the list. Who else should we have in prayer? Yes?
I'd like prayers for the church that we're trying to expand our services and that we get more speakers, people that really are looking forward to come and share their life with us.
Great.
In the fall.
So you're looking to extend your season?
Yes.
We'll pray for that. We usually pray for Marie about this time.
Yes.
That's okay. We'll keep you and Paul on the list anyway. Ms. Ginny?
I think we should also be praying for our country. You know, where we live, we're kind of secluded from a lot of things that are going on. But I think we need to really be praying hard for our country.
I do too. We also need to remember to pray for Ukraine. It's kind of fallen off the urgency list because other things have popped up. The war continues and people continue to die. Mary?
Well, the trailer with the migrants.
Yeah. I'm going to say migrant deaths because the trailer only represents a small percentage, awful though it is. Want to pray for Bill?
Sure.
Let's pray for Bill. Bill has been having movement troubles and no answers, and so answers are looking like they're getting closer. Are you waving to me? Yes.
We have a friend whose grandson is a missionary, and he just found out his wife is expecting, and the baby has a cleft palate, and they think he might have other problems, and he's supposed to leave this fall for Africa.
That's a heavy load. Can I use his name?
Noah.
Noah. Noah and his wife and baby. Yeah. Are there others? Yeah.
I'm afraid to say travel for everyone, but my daughter and her family are traveling just to Portland, a larger area, and they'll be coming back tomorrow sometime.
Prayers for wherever they're traveling. Okay. And I have a prayer for this too. Let us pray. Show us the suffering of the most miserable, O God, so we will know our people's plight. Free us to pray for others, for you are present in every person. Help us to take responsibility for our own lives so we can be free at last. Grant us courage to serve others, for in service is your true life. Give us honesty and patience so that we can work with others to create your kingdom on earth. Bring forth song and celebration so that we remember that the Spirit is alive among us. Let the Spirit flourish and grow among us so that we will never tire of following your way. Let us remember those who have gone before us, for they have given us life. And help us love even those who hate us, so that we can change the world and bring about your peace. Amen. Let us say together the words of the Lord's Prayer as they're printed in your bulletin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand if you're able. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place.
Thank you. That was very nice. We have a room full of singers today. We should just sing more. Please be seated. As has been our habit for the last, seems like longer than 3 years of COVID, our offerings will be placed in the basket at the rear of the church as you exit. If you're not prepared to make an offering today, that's okay. We're glad to have you with us. You may stand or sit to sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Ooh, nice little harmony at the end. Please be seated. Our psalm today is Psalm 30. Is there someone who would like to read, or am I going to read to you? I got it. I'm reading to you from the Pew Bible, which is the King James translation from what year?
1892. It's when the church was built.
Is it the original from the church? That's wonderful. Okay. Feels like my great-grandfather's Bible. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall the dust declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth
and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. That's the reading of the psalm for today. And we have a letter of Paul, which I thought I put a thing in. We're reading, oh no, we're not reading Galatians here, are we?
No.
I'm sorry, I'm confused. It's like trains, you know, I'm on the wrong train now. We're going to read a great story from 2 Kings, chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. And that, I do have a place for it. Prepare yourself to hear a story of faith. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Because of him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. Naaman was also a mighty man in vigor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel. And he said to him, now when this letter has come in unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel with me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go now and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and he said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him. And one said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do something of great value, great difficulty, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? This doesn't work, does it? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again unto the flesh of a little boy, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. And it goes on.
But that's the reading for today. And our gospel reading is from Luke chapter 10. Now in chapter 9 of Luke, we heard of Jesus commissioning his apostles, the 12 apostles, and sending them out for the first time to do miracles and to preach in his name. And that's where this begins, Luke 10. Sorry. After these things, the Lord appointed another 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. And therefore he said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray thee therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking, such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the city, and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh upon you. Now we go to verse 16. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus said unto them, I behold Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this rejoicing that the spirits are subject unto you, rejoice not that the spirits are, it's a little dark right here, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. This is the word of God for us for today. Several themes. Before I start, I am having trouble seeing this. Does this work? And if it does work, well, maybe I'm not doing the right thing to it. Technical difficulties. Even a flashlight would help.
Was that enough?
Perfect. Thank you.
And just, does that help?
Thank you very much. Nobody does this alone. Several themes bind together today's scriptures. The first thing is sending, that is, discipleship. Next is healing, which includes freeing persons from evil spirits. And the third thing is the preference of God for amateurs in the healing role of disciples. From the unnamed slave of Naaman's wife to the unnamed 70 disciples of Jesus, God places responsibility for God's healing work in the hands of people who have no idea what they're doing. Elisha, refusing to see General Naaman, sent his servant to relay God's message of healing.
The prophet knew that it was Naaman's faith and no magical secrets of his own that enjoined God's healing mercy. It was not Elisha, but God who healed. In the psalm, David recognizes that he himself cannot heal his ills. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. As always, however, it's Jesus who invites us into the story. Things were getting busier for Jesus. We know that he is now on his way to Jerusalem. Naturally, he felt a sense of urgency. He had a very little time left, and he had much work still to do. And what was his work? What did he do? He harvested hearts and souls. He was about bringing peace and healing and casting out demons. He was working to bring people back from death. He was showing the possibilities for new life. He restored sight to the blind, cured palsy and leprosy, and returned to health and community the woman with the hemorrhage. He raised Jairus' daughter and the widow of Nain's son, and drove the demons out of the Gerasene demoniac and the young boy. By healing illnesses, Jesus restored people to their social existence. Madness and disability under Jewish law put people on the outside of community life. By nature of their gender, women were always on the outside of society. And yet Jesus was present to them as well. His presence alone was healing. His concern for those invisible people, those with devils, those with mental illness, those who were ill, his concern made people kinder, more receptive, and more connected. And when Jesus healed anyone, it was usually by his touch. Well, naturally, we can imagine that he was increasingly in demand. As the days drew near for him to be taken up, we are told, Jesus saw the need to increase his reach, both to meet the immediate demands and for the long-term ministry of the way. He already had the discipleship of the 12 that was set out in the previous chapter, but 12 were not enough. So he chose 70 among those who followed him, men and women. As we know, 7 was a number which meant enough or complete. So Jesus called 10 times as many as would be adequate to the harvest of his Father's world. He knew the harvest would grow to exceed the numbers that were sent out. They had no special training and carried no special equipment, at least not of a physical sort. They didn't have a bag or a change of clothes or spare sandals, no tents, no sleeping bags, no rations. He gave them no magic words and no letters of introduction. Instead, he gave them the common words of peace. It was his peace they were to bring, the peace they were to depend upon. Peace not as the world gives, but the peace of Christ. If they were welcomed in his peace, they were to be a blessing by accepting hospitality, thereby making disciples of the household. He said, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. As they were not guaranteed a good welcome, he also gave them a stern formula for leaving. The only words he gave them to use in strange places were brief and powerful. He said, peace be to this house. The kingdom of God has come near to you. He made it clear whose message they were carrying. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. The one who sent me was his Father. Jesus acknowledged himself as a disciple. He was sent by his Father, by God. He shared with the 70 his power to heal and to cast out evil. Like Naaman's servants, They would learn by whose power healing came. So we are the descendants of those disciples whom Jesus sent out. We too have seen his work and heard his words. We have been touched, singled out, and we have been called to follow him. And we can't imagine why Jesus thinks we'd be any good at that, much less working for him. Is he wise to trust us with his harvest? He must know our limitations, right? We don't know much about theology. It's more than we can do to keep all the commandments, and there are only 10 of them. And we only dimly understand the scriptures. But apparently, that's not important to Jesus. He can use our faithfulness better if we have no preconceived certainties. If we don't argue with him, we're much more useful. What makes us more useful is our openness to him, our assurance that the right actions will come through faith, not from vast stores of expert professional knowledge, not from human knowledge at all, but from his movement in our hearts. Jesus wants us for those open hearts, our uncertain attempts to imitate his mercy, our stumbling following of his path of peace, our shaking hands that bring his healing. Even with those amateurs who followed him, even with us, the gospel has grown and spread in spite of all the experts trying to take it over. It still comes down to the peace of Christ and our willingness to bring it everywhere, to anyone. Lacking special preparation or even a pair of extra sandals, we are called and sent to bring his word of peace, to be that word of peace, the unlimited, unreserved love of God to any who will open their hearts to the word of love and follow. Peace be to this house. The kingdom of God has come near you. Amen. Now, we don't have a closing hymn chosen. So this is the chance for the people who look like they have a hymn on their mind and they just don't want to ask it. Or I'm going to rely on Ginny.
She's always got one.
She's got one.
But if somebody else who wants one. 453, since it's the holiday for part of our country, Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Oh, for this we stand. 453. 453. And how many verses would you like to sing?
I guess 1 and 4.
Good enough.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. While God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Sing one more, couldn't we? If anybody had one?
17.
This is such a good singing group, I hate to call it off.
Come thou fount.
Oh, good.
Jen, would you like to start it?
I would.
Okay.
And we can just do the first and the last.
Okay.
Come out of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy course above.
Amen. And a blessing for the road. May you know yourself to be the beloved child of God, no matter how you stumble, no matter how far you fall. May you have faithful companions on the road to lift your heart in hard times and remind you in all times that courage is the gift of a trusting heart. May you see clearly the path before you and stay true to its call, even when the destination is unknown. May you find yourself welcome in surprising places, and may you rejoice to arrive where God has placed you and know it for your heart's true home. Amen.